I used to be so broken, lost, empty. A heart with no beat, a singer with no song to sing. So I know the feeling, the silence is deafening. But in your pain lies a blessing, a sweet and sour victory. So keep walking, 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 though it seems so far. No matter who you are, see, there's one thing that I know. Life, it can
Good morning, good morning, good morning, America. Good morning to our international partners. Good morning to our partners in the local areas, and good morning to our ADM family. We just want to thank you all this morning for joining us again, being in the presence of the Lord. And we want to give honor to God because He is the head of our life. He is our very existence. He is the one that chose for us to wake up another day. We cannot take it for granted when we wake up in the morning and we see another sunrise. We see daylight. It is a blessing, truly a blessing, that we cannot let go unknown. We have to give God His praises. We have to give Him His honor and just be thankful that He chose you and I to be in the number again. So wake up in the morning. Get up. Put on your full armor of God. Tell God thank you. Command your morning. Command your atmosphere. Command your day. From the time your day starts, command it, decree and declare the things that you would like to happen on this day, and think it as if they have already happened. Speak them, speak to the things, speak. If it's a rock that's in your way, speak to that rock. Whatever it is, command your atmosphere, because God has given you the authority to do so. Don't walk around with a heaviness on you. Speak life into your situation. Speak light into your situation. So the things that you cannot see, the things that feel dark in your circle, the things that you may have a lack of, Jesus could be that answer, because He is the truth, the way, and the light. And we must remember that. We must give God His praises. So please, if you have not, take a second, even if it's just say, Father, I thank you, Father. You are more than wonderful. You are just amazing, Father. Just give God His praises. Do not let your day go by without praising God, without showing God that you reverence Him, because that's one of the problems that's going on right now. People do not reverence God. And we must give God His reverence, because as I previously stated, He is our very existence. Mother Jackson, if you are on the line, would you please press 1 to bless us with a beautiful prayer this morning? Mother Jackson, are you there? Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you, Father, just thanking you, Father, for one more day, Father God. Thanking you, Father, because you are the Alpha and the Omega, Father, the beginning and the end, Father God. Thanking you, Father, because you know exactly what you have predestined for us, Father God, for this very same day, Lord Jesus. And we are just thankful, Father God, that you chose us to be in a number one more time, Father God. You chose us, Father. You chose us, Father God, to give us a second chance, a day of a second chance, Father God, a moment of a second chance, Father God, a second of a second chance, Father God, that you did not pass us by, Father God, that we are able right now today to be in your midst, Father God, doing all the things that's going on the earth, Father God, in the earth, Father God. We just thank you, Father God. We thank you for your presence, Father God. We thank you for being our strong tower, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the hedge of protection that you have placed around us, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that leads us and guides us, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for your word, Lord Jesus, Father God, for giving us the opportunity, Father God, to meditate on it, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the teaching, Father God, that you have been pouring out to us, Father God. And we thank you for the vessels, Lord Jesus, that's willingly and willing to obey your instructions, Father God, and be that vessel, Father God, no matter what, how it has to come out.
what it may, how it may sound, how it may have to cut some things up, Father God. It's still coming forth, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the love, Father God, the peace and the joy that you have imparted in us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the paradigm shift, Father God, that's going on in our lives right now, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us, Father God, to renew our, ask you to renew our minds, Father God, creating us a clean heart, Father God. Lord, to place our feet on a solid ground, Father God, a path of righteousness, Father God. We thank you for your will, for allowing us, Father God, to know your will for our lives, Father God. Lord, we just thank you as we pray for the United States of America right now, Lord, and all the things that are going on in it, Father God. We dress ourselves, Father God, with your full armor of God, Father God. And Lord, we ask you to sharpen our vision, Father God, even our peripheral vision, Father God, so we can see the things that are coming, Father God, so we're able, Father God, to speak to those things so they will not, Father God, bother us in any way, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask you to allow for us to decrease today, Father God, and for you to increase, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Father God, to let the words that come out of our mouth be acceptable to you, Lord Jesus. Father God, that we do not lean on our own understanding for anything, Father God, but we trust you in all aspects of our lives, Father God. Not because we're here this morning, Father God, but when we're not here, Father God, when we're not amongst people, Father God, but Father God, we're just, it's just you and I, you and them, Father God, and we're connecting with you, Father God, so your words, Father God, your ways, Father God, will be displayed through us, Lord. So Father, I sit and say, I pray to you this morning, Father God, to have your way, Father God. Not our way, Father God, to have your way, Lord. And I ask the same thing on our 8 p.m. hour, Father God, to continue, Lord Jesus, to have your way, Father God, to continue, Father God, to download the information, Father God, and then let it be dispersed, Father God, to those that really need to hear, Father God. Open their minds, open their hearts, Father God, and speak to them, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you, Father God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for just giving us an ear, Father God. Just opening up your heart, Father God, and never leaving us nor forsaking us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 On this morning, we are going to, talk about the two greatest commandments, that what Jesus said was the two greatest commandments, and that's found in Matthew 22, verses 22, hold on, Matthew 22, verses 37 and 39. And it's verse 22 says, is Jesus asking Jesus what was the two greatest commandments, and Jesus giving them his answers to that. Verse 37 says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And verse 39 says, "A second, equally important, love your neighbor as yourself." So it says, the first commandment, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Sister Monica, I turn the mic over to you.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I first want to start off by saying I love you and God bless you today. I ask you guys to actually think about what we're saying because we're trying to give you what God has given us and what he said that he wants us to understand about him and you and I in our exchange of a holy, holy covenant, a relationship. And he gave these words to us through Christ because Christ was the one perfect person that could give us a living example of what that relationship would reveal, what would look like, what it would resemble. And when I went into looking at the word commandment, it says a commandment is a divine rule, a rule to be observed strictly. And see, because Jesus was able to tell this disciple these two great commandments, it probably took them back a little bit because they knew the Ten Commandments of Moses. But these commandments were so strict. They were laws that we weren't able to keep without God's help. And because God sent Christ to help us fulfill these laws, he didn't send him to take away the law, but he sent Christ in the world to show us how to fulfill the law, how to live in the law, how to abide in him. And because he was that sacrifice and he took away the death, the consequences of sin, and he died on the cross for our sins, he also gave us the answers to all the questions that we needed to actually please God. And the answer to one of those questions, which was from the disciples, was, what was the greatest commandment? And Christ answered on the first one. That's what I'm focusing on right now, because we have to have that one and only God mentality, to have that actual mentality that there is no other God, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God. He is the true living God, because our Father, he is a jealous God. See, God doesn't have any room for us to even think about or consider or showing any concern or affection or loyalty or slave mentality to anything but him. And with that being said, we have to ask ourselves, well, what does the word with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind mean? It means to love God unconditionally. It means to love God with all your heart, with the affection and the adoration and the honor and the commitment, so that you're wholeheartedly in a relationship, that you're in love with God with all your heart, not part of your heart, but deeply moved just with the knowing that you have the ability to be in touch with the source of love, because God is love. And then if you use the words all your soul, then you recognize that it's on a spiritual level, that we are to focus on loving God on a spiritual level, because he is spirit. And then when we love him on a spiritual level, that we would love him eternally with our soul, where our soul would become one with him, because we are trying to go so in our soul. But see, our soul is governed by our mind. And see, we got to love God with all our mind, because our mind is when we focus on God and not have a distraction, that we look to God for all things, that our focus and our thoughts dwell upon our Creator. We dwell upon the things of the Lord, that we would think of the Lord, because whatever we think it will come out of our mouth. And, you know, whatever you thought was that comes out of your mouth, it resonated in your heart first. So as we meditate on the words that came in that first commandment, we realize that we have no room to have any other God, that we shouldn't idolize anything in our life that we would do and that we would concern ourselves with, that would just distract the relationship we have with our Father, because we love him so much. So if you have a job, if you have a business, if you have another person in your life, if you have an addiction, if you have anything that you do treasure and love more than God, then that's your God. And see, God is not going to have that. So he's given Christ the answers to tell everyone what he needs us to have as as a loving, committed relationship when we have that one-on-one time with him. When we do focus on God, we end up finding out who we really are, and God reveals himself to us through love. As we look at the way these two commandments sum up the Ten Commandments, we find out that the first one, which is love thy God with all thy mind, heart, and soul, they cover the first four commandments. So if you live within the first two commandments, then you have actually satisfied and been able to live within all 10 of the commandments. And see, all 10 of the commandments, they ran on what not to do, what we shall not do, and the things that we shall do. But see, the two greatest commandments, they encompass it all. So if we can master the two greatest commandments, we have made our way into God's own heart. So as time goes on, I realize that we have no way of knowing how to do things with a God we've not seen, except for Christ coming into the world and giving us this excellent example, because Christ was able to personify what the relationship between man and God would look like. He was able to give us a living example of how to reverence God. Remember how Christ reverenced God. Remember how he feared God, that he did not tempt God. Remember the obedience that we must have, that we must obey God. Remember that we must abide in God. We must praise God. We must adore God. We must worship God. And when we do all of those things, we'll see that the person relationship develops, and God will be, the relationship we have with God will be the most important relationship we will ever have. To align ourselves with God will perfect our abilities to have good, healthy, great, extremely loving relationships with people around us. So when we do have this one-on-one relationship, knowing that God is so holy, that we'll be able to actually move our not knowing who God is, but seeing God through the eyes of Christ, because Christ always referred to the God that he served as his heavenly Father. And when he personified God as his heavenly Father, it was a relationship of love and honor. And that's where we can look at that relationship, the way he portrayed our Father as a heavenly Father, and that we are his brothers in Christ. And so when we look at that relationship and we realize that if it was what Christ said and if it was what Christ did, and because we call ourselves Christians and followers of Christ, then that is what we must do. We must love God to please God. But see, God not only wants us to love him, but he wants us to love others in a 360-degree realm instead of just the vertical up-and-down relationship that we have with him. So as we realize that we are the creation and the creation is always subject to the creator, we have to give the creator glory. We have to glorify God because he created us. He's alive, holy, living God, and that's what we should do. We should live holy because of our Heavenly Father who is holy. And as we worship the creator and not the created, the creation realizes it's dependent upon the creator. Go out with this last thought. I want to bring to you 1 John, the book of John, chapter 1 and 1. And in the book of John, chapter 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and in his life brought life, light to everyone. And that's just giving us the understanding that Jesus Christ, he was qualified because he was that Word that 1 John and 1 spoke of. He was that Word that was with God and is God. He was there in the beginning. So his qualifications to give us these instructions, to give us this answer to the mystery of what was the great commandment, how are we to live, they came through when we looked the words that Jesus Christ gave us, and we hear from John 1 and 1 that he was qualified to do so because he was with God. How can he be with God? Because he was God. He was God in flesh. And God, he knows himself. And see, Christ knew what we needed to do, and he gave us that bridge of understanding. He revealed to us that mystery on who God was. He gave us an image of God, and therefore we have no mysteries in knowing that what was spoken, that what was taught in the red letters of Matthew 22 and 37 was talking about. It was talking about living holy, living to God, living to be the righteous person that God created us to be. And that is all I can, that's all I can pull out of where I have been, because see, right now God has given me the ability to just move into a place of forgiveness from the words that we gave yesterday, into a place of where all of these things that he's given us to reveal how we should act and how we should live, it's been a successful pattern. It was a blueprint, and it's affected my life so greatly, and I pray that it affects yours as much as it has mine. It's a deliverance, you guys. This is the answer. This is the way, because as my sister Nita, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He gave us the answers. Let's listen. Let's apply it. And I'll turn it back over to you, sister, because there's another commandment that falls into the two great commandments. Back over to you, sister.
And praise God. You are absolutely right. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. But we also know that God is love. God is love. Let that resonate in your mind. Let it just go through everything. God is love. He has shown us over and over and over who he is. He's shown us. And Matthew 22:39 states, secondly, is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So let's turn our Bibles over to Luke 10, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, to see who Jesus identifies as our neighbor. Okay, and we're going to start with verse 25. It says, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbors as yourself. Jesus said, right, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So Jesus took him, in verse 30, Jesus gave them a parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus replied with the story, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him in an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. Bill runs higher than this. I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was the neighbor to the man who attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. So Jesus said to him, yes, now go and do the same. So I want to give you just a little bit of backdrop on the Samaritan, why he used the Samaritan. There was a deep hatred that existed between Jews and Samaritan. The Jews saw themselves as pure descendants of Abraham, while the Samaritans was a mixed race produced from when the Jews of the Northern Kingdom, they were intermarrying, they were getting married with other people after the exiles. It wasn't Jews marrying Jews. The Jews went out and married into other religions. And the Samaritans in the Jews' eyesight, that's that racism, were identified as being not good enough. They wasn't pure. They wasn't genuine enough to go out and help strangers. They were like ostracized. They were half people. They were nobodies. They didn't, nothing wasn't good about them. Nothing wasn't good about them. But in this story, the Samaritan, who has been identified as the least, ended up being the greater person. Why? Because he followed the second greatest commandment by loving his neighbor as he loved himself. And let's go turn over to Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. It says, owe, verses 8, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. I want to go back up to verse 8. It says, except for your obligation to love one another. What is obligation? Obligation is an act or course of action to which a person is morally or legally bound, a duty or a commitment. So we are legally, morally, and legally or legally bound to love thy neighbors as we love ourselves. We need to understand this. We will always, permanently, forever and ever be indebted to Jesus Christ because of the sacrifice he made for us. And that sacrifice, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. And in scripture, Jesus said, to love me is to obey my commandments. So we must obey his commandments to show God, because to show Jesus, that's the only way that we can even possibly show Jesus that we love him, is by obeying his commandments. It's written. It's written in the word. So being that we are indebted to Christ for what he did for us, that's considered unconditional love. And as I stated, we can never pay that. We never can repay that. But we can start by showing love to our neighbors. But before we can get to that, we must learn self-love first. You have to learn to love yourself. If you cannot love yourself, then there's no way possible that you will be able to ever go out and love your neighbor. You may sit and be doing it for a showmanship, but see, Jesus looking for that unconditional love, that love that only you can get from filled with the Holy Spirit, being dwelling, allowing him to dwell within you. You have to be one with Jesus. You have to be connected with Jesus, and you have to know who Jesus is and realize that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. This is not something, this love that Jesus is talking about, where you are to go and help and love thy neighbor, is not something that you going to get on your own. It's not a fleshly thing. It's a spiritual thing. Jesus has to abide in you. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you in order to get to the place where you're at. Because, see, people will sit, as I said before in another segment, people will sit and do things just so they can be seen, or for people to sit and say, oh, yeah, you did this, you did that. And when you doing it, you up on Facebook. You posting it on Facebook. You on IG. You got to call 10 to 20 people to tell them, I just did this for Evangelist Elect and her family. No. See, when we're doing the love that Jesus is talking about, is that love that comes from within. It's within. It comes from within, and then it pours outwardly because it's deep down rooted in your soul. So it's something that continuously go over and over. It's an action that continuously go without hesitation. Now, that word hesitation came up because, see, you cannot sit and allow. You have to use discretion. You have to use wisdom and realize who you're dealing with when you're doing these things. You know, you just going up and giving to anybody that's sitting and trying to scam you. You know, you have to be able to sit and use discretion on that. You have to use discretion on that. Ask the Holy Spirit when you walk up upon somebody. Father God, is this person with a seek ye first the kingdom of God and allow him to give you the answer. And then as it relates to your enemies, Jesus hung in between people that could have been identified as his enemies. But yet he still loved them. He still prayed and asked for them whatever took place for them, you know, for it not to go against them. And this is where God wants us to be in this day and time. The things that people have done to us, he wants us to turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. If you see them hungry, you feed them. If you see them thirsty, you give them something to drink. If you see them naked, you clothe them. If you see where they don't have a roof to stay over their head, be like the Good Samaritan. You may possibly have to go get them a room for the night or whatever it may be. Even these are even the same people that said and scandalized, talked about you, scandalized you, stabbed you in your back, and may very well still be doing it. But the love that you have for Christ supersedes all of that. It supersedes the way you show him is to follow his commandment. The way you show him is to dig deep within, no matter how hard it is for you to do, and sit and say, here, my brother, here, my sister, let's share this bread together. Here, my brother, here, my sister, I had these things in my house. I can no longer wear them or whatnot, but I'm going to share them with you. See, people, it used to be a saying, what would Jesus do? And that right there, that's something that Jesus is doing. Even in today's current events, people sit and say, oh, God mad now. God allowing this, all this type of stuff. God is not the author of confusion. But one thing I can sit and say, that God is in the midst because he is a God that he loves justice. I can sit and say that all over this country right now, and even outside of the country, you have people that's kneeling in a silent protest and standing for justice, standing for what's right. And it has nothing to do with race, color, or creed. It has everything to do with one thing, justice. And God is a justful God. And God is a God of love, that his spirit may manifest through the areas where there is silence, there is walking protest. Not God has nothing to do with the looting, the stealing, all of the other things that's going on, but God is allowing us to come together on one accord to sit and show that the nation, the world is tired of injustice. Whether it's over in China, whether it's over in Ireland, Hong Kong, Africa, wherever it is, God is a part of justice. He is a part of justice. And his love, he's pouring his love in. He's pouring his love into people. Without them, they could be blind. They could be deaf. They could be lame. They could be whatever. But a movement of love is coming forth right now. A movement God is in. You need to get in the midst of where God is. Place that love dwell inside of you, however it may be. Take away all of the ugly things and replace it with the love any way possible. Take the unforgiveness away. Take away with the different things that you know that's not of God so you can allow it to shine through you. Do not sit and harbor hate. Do not sit and indulge into racism. Do not. That's not of God. That's not of God. God gives us a choice, and the choice is to obey his commandment. And how do you obey his commandment? Or how do you show him that you're obeying his commandments? By loving him, by being obedient to his commandments. And all the commandments that he has given, they will fall into place once you identify, once you receive, once you allow the love that God has for you, once you take it in, allow it to impartake inside of you, and then you are able to share it. It's not for you to just sit there and allow it to stay within you. God is not a selfish God. God is a selfless God. So therefore, he wants you to share whatever he has given to you, even if it's to your enemy, even your neighbor. Your neighbor could be a perfect stranger. Back in the old days, I remember people, especially my grandmother, when a new neighbor used to come, she used to bake up her little famous red velvet cake and take the cake over to the people's house and sit and say, okay, well, I'm welcoming you into the neighborhood. And that will open up a discussion. I live right across the street. If there's anything that you need, I'm here. Not even knowing the person. But this is who God is. This is who God is. And this is where God wants us to be on today. He wants us to impart his love. He wants us to realize why love thy neighbor was the second greatest commandment. He wants us to realize that I am love. I am love. I loved you all through your sins. I could have just sat and let the flood just take over everything. I could have continued to open up the grounds and let you fall through and thousands of people. But no, no, no. I allowed my son to come on the earth as flesh and walk upon this earth. I gave you grace. I still on today give you mercy. I just need you to obey the commandment to love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. And if you can show me that, at one point in time, I could tell you that this is a job well done. If you're doing it with a pure heart, I'm receiving it. If you're doing it not for a showboat, but when Jesus died for us, it wasn't for a show. It took a whole bunch out of him. He even sat and said, Father, take this cup away from me. But then he quickened, the Holy Spirit, he was quickened. But if it's not thy will, but your will. He loved him that much. He loved us that much that he still went through the plan for you and I to be saved by grace. For you and I to be on today to love one another during this pandemic, during this confusion that's going on around. But as you can see, there are some connecting. There is some connection going on. You got celebrities paying for funerals. You got celebrities and this, that, and another. But I want to leave you and sit and say God is not the author of confusion, but he is the God of love. Apostle, I turn it over to you.
Amen. God bless all of you all this morning. Amen. We just give God the glory and for what he is doing. And, you know, all these components that they've been sharing from yesterday, today, you know, forgiveness, love, all of them, you know, comes together and it makes sense. And we got to understand that. And this is something that it shouldn't have to take things so aggressive or things to get look like it's chaotic to bring people back to a place to where we supposed to be at already. Amen. To be a helper or to be a, you know, a supporter to our brother and sister that is in the right, amen, that especially that is in the right, you know. It shouldn't have to take that, but nevertheless it does, you know. But and this is something that the way of kingdom we have to live by. This is a way of life. This is who we are. I'm a helper to you. You know, you're a helper to me. I'm going to show the love for you. If I need to give the shirt off my back, I give the shirt off my back. God, and God will take you through different things to test you. You know, would you forsake everything for my name's sake? Amen. He will test you. He will show, because love is love, and these forgiveness, these are action words. These are words that is action. How much time? I'm going to share something with you, because, you know, a lot of these tests that a lot of these things are shared, it does be tests, you know. God will test you. God will test you so you can see where you at, and God will show you. I'm going to share this little story with you all, you know, on last week Friday, it's an individual reached out to me, and this individual reached out to me is my ex-pastor's that I set up under for about 13 years. I set up under for about 13 years. Now, granted, now, you know, this was a place to where I didn't even want to go nowhere. I wasn't even thinking about ministry. I wasn't thinking about preaching. I wasn't thinking about pastor. I wasn't thinking about nothing. I love my pastors as if they was my mother and my father, and I love them. Now, when different things that happen that I notice, but nevertheless, my love for them is overseeded, you know, what I knew was right or what I knew was wrong. You know, it's overseeded. I just really didn't care. I love them. Now, it's a lot of things transpiring, especially towards the end of the separation and relationship, to where it devastated me. I remember I shared this story, you know, to where, you know, I was so hurt one time, to where, you know, you could reach out your love, and you could reach out to people, and you can embrace them. But the time when it's your time to receive, amen, when it's your time to receive, you know, most of the time we don't receive like we give out. And that damaged a lot of you that is listening, because it damaged me, you know, your love for people, your trust for people, and also forgiveness. It's hard for you to come into a place of forgiveness to where, you know, to where they devastated your life. And that's the time to where I shared where I went into a park, you know, at my work time, because, you know, it was so much about what you could do for me. But when you in a hard place, you know, nobody don't want to embrace. It's all about what you could do. People get tired of that. You know, I get it, because everyone get to the place to get tired of it. Amen. Then different things, manipulation, different things that go on. So, you know, pretty much I was in a modern day cult that I didn't know anything about. You know, I was a young man, didn't know anything about modern day cult, you know, and it devastated my life. You know, it ruined all the relationship. It brought division. It brought some everything. You know, even it kept me away from my own flesh and blood, my own parents. Amen. That's how powerful this thing was. And, you know, for years, you know, about 14 years, you know, 13 years, it kept me away from them. And we lived in the same town. Amen. So then God had to test me. Now, here we go. I give about 12 years later, speed it up 12 years, 10 years later from all that to where all the separation come. Now, the last time we spoke, it was a very awkward situation to where they didn't want to take no accountability for anything, for nothing. Amen. And that was the last time we spoke. And that was about 14 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, if that. So now speed it up to Friday. Friday just left, amen, last week, to where individuals reached out. They reached out through a third party, you know, to contact me through social media for me to give them a call. Okay, right then and there, I could have looked at that. And now everything that I've been teaching, everything that I've been saying, this is how powerful this is. Everything else that I've been pouring into individual, I could have cause an open door for everyone that received. How is that? Because the words that I said was a lie. I did not show, I'm not in a place of love. I'm not in a place of deliverance. I'm not in a place of forgiveness. Because as soon as I seen that information and they reached out, they say, hey, I could have been into a place. I mean, well, what these people want? Here we go 15 years later. I got my life. I don't need these people. What in the world are these people? And sometimes God will bring things and cause things to happen in your life, especially from the past, for you could close that chapter. And many people think that chapter is closed. Let me tell you something. That chapter, one thing that I seen on one of Mother Deal episodes, Mother Deal said something, a thin line between love, I forgot the episode, but that episode that Mother Deal said to the daughter, say, listen, baby, you know, if you over there taking out your anger, you beating the man up, you doing all kinds of stuff, you're not over them. You're not over that individual. You know, you that individual is still leading you. You're not leading it. You know, so what I did, I contact the person. I say, absolutely, I give them a call. So I gave the individuals a call, you know, I gave them a call. And it was very awkward. It was like, hey, how you doing? We've been looking for you. We've been, you know, think about the last conversation we had, you know, and all the stuff that came out and the stuff that we know caused the ministry to split, caused a whole bunch of stuff. Amen. Did I come and attack? Did I come and say no? No, I was going along with it. Hey, God bless you all, you know. Remembrance the old times. And I'm not talking about the bad times. We remembrance the what? The good times, amen. Then I took the stuff back out of that conversation, and I knew from that what God showed me. I knew from that place that I am walking in a place of love and walking in a place of true forgiveness, amen. How many of you could come and from things that been hunting you, things that have not completed, completely closed because they have not come or somebody have not come and apologized to you. Amen. How many of you still holding on to issues in your own families right now, issues with your own parent? At the end of the day, amen, I'm walking into a blessed place. I refuse to give up my blessed place for somebody that cannot, somebody is not catering to me 15 or 20 years later. I'm already on the plan. I'm already on the battlefield. We already in a playing field. Realize where you are right now. Realize that your life is blessed. You realize that God is giving you more. And some things it's not worth holding on. Amen. And I'm telling you this, and I hope individuals will listen to and hear this. Amen. Trueness to different things to where you can really stand up and make a difference, make a change, is where you don't allow bitterness, you don't allow hatred, you don't allow tit for tat, what you done to me, I want to get you back. When you don't allow that comes in your heart or comes into your movement or get it out the way, you'll begin to see God begin to stand up, amen? He'll begin to stand up. So when we say peaceful protesting, amen, we understand that you upset. The Bible declares, have anger but sin not. Amen. And we understand, and even some of you in your life are what things that happened, individuals that did something to you. I understand that you could be upset, but don't get to a point to where you walk out of the structure of God in love, in forgiveness, and walk in the truth of it. And at the end of the day, listen, you made it this far. You still standing. No matter what somebody may say or they said in the past or what they did to you, guess who's a winner? You are the winner because you showed, my God, you showed God is showing you off as if you could have killed, you tried to kill them with your tongue, with your words, you tried to kill them that they couldn't make it, that they ain't going to make it, but guess what? They still scribing. Everything's still strong. You try to kill their relationship, they still moving. You try to kill their career, they still moving. You try to kill the ministry that God done placed inside of them, it's still coming forth. It's still manifesting. Understand that you are the winner. You are the runner. Don't give up your seat, your blessing. Don't give up your place, amen, for individuals. individuals, my God Almighty, that never had control over you in the first place. Amen. You walk into the things of God and keep seeing the blessings of God. And if you still walk around with hatred, I don't want to talk to this joker or whatever, you still got issues in your heart and you need to clean them out. Amen. For the blessings of the Lord can flow through you. Back to you, Evangelist.
Amen, amen, amen. I hope each and every person took that in. Each and every person is willing to do so. Each and every person is allowing to God sit and strip things that's not of him so you can be in that place of love, so you can be in that place of forgiveness. So because we don't want to miss out, we have sat and held back and stayed in the same place too long. It's time for a movement. The power of God is the power, the spirit of God is moving. So you don't want to miss out on it. With that, again, I cordially invite you all to come on the prayer on our prayer line, ABM prayer line tonight, and break the bread of life with us. That number is 385-799-9620. Again, it's 385-799-9620. I charge you today to go out and love thy neighbor as you love thyself. If it's someone you need to call, just call and let them know I love you. I love you with the love of Christ. If it's someone you need to ask for forgiveness, call them and ask them to forgive you. If it's somebody that you need to forgive, call them and let them know that you've forgiven them as well, because you do not want the love that God has for you to just be sitting out there in the water. You want it to be within you so you can be a blessing to others. Again, we love you. You all have a great day, and walk with love, walk with forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.